مبارك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: والله فضل بعضكم على بعض في الرزق. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: وإن من شيء إلا عندنا خزائنه وما ننزله إلا بقدر معلوم. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, for the last few weeks we have discussed the poisonous habit that is destroying us inwardly and outwardly. And basically the poisonous habit that is very, very destructive is hasad. Allah Almighty says, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَد. We seek refuge with Allah from the envier's envy. We have established a few points in the last few sermons that basically hasad, jealousy, is a door that opens up into the house of many, many poisonous habits. So this is one door that will introduce us to many, many smaller windows of poisonous habits. So if we can close this door, we will protect and safeguard ourselves from many, many poisonous habits. And I made mention a few moments ago that this is very, very destructive. It has the potential to destroy blood relationships. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was thrown into the well by his brothers. And the reason why the brothers threw him into the well, because of jealousy. Qabil murdered his brother Habil, blood relationship, and the reason behind it was hasad, it was jealousy, that he has been blessed with something better than what I am going to get. So basically this is very, very destructive. It starts far, far away. It starts far, far away, but it makes its way to your own home. So a person starts off far, far away, a person that doesn't really concern him, and he has hasad for that person. But it does not stop at that station that is far, far away. It starts to make its way to your own home. That's why it is destructive. And then a person without realization finds out that he is hasid of his own brother, hasid of his own uncle, auntie, cousin, so on and so forth. So it starts off far, but it ends up very, very near. That's why I said it is destructive outwardly and inwardly. So basically, the fire within burns a person. And when a person is burnt physically, he's immobile. And when a person is burnt from the poisonous habit of hasad, he is burnt inwardly. He becomes immobile spiritually. And whatever good he commits to, due to hasad, he burns it away. That good deed is burnt away. So basically we had established that point through the last Juma sermons. We were focusing upon the antidote, the treatment, that how can we address this destructive, poisonous habit? How can we uproot it, eliminate it? So the first
ingredient to the antidote is deliberation, contemplation. And alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, last Jumu'ah was dedicated to this first ingredient, deliberation. And we recited a verse from Surah Al-Hijr, Surah 15, and basically verse 21. Allah Almighty says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And there is not a thing, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ, and there is not a thing, but the treasures thereof lie with us. سارے خزانے اللہ کے پاس ہیں, سارے کل خزانے. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ. مفاتی is the plural of مفتاح. And Allah says that the treasures of the unseen has many, many keys. And all these keys lie with us. Likewise, Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ. There is nothing in this world, tangible, non-tangible, visible or invisible, that emerges in the day or emerges in the night. But the stores lie with us. And then Allah Almighty, in a very beautiful fashion, He makes a statement. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And we send it not down except in a known measure. Allah knows how much I should receive. And Allah knows how much you should receive. In terms of beauty, in terms of health, in terms of lifespan, in terms of rizq, whatever bounties we enjoy, all the treasures lie with Allah, and Allah allows these treasures to descend upon us in a limited amount. Because whatever Allah has decreed, there will be no omission and no addition. Place that in the mind. Whatever we are going to receive, we are going to receive the full package that Allah has designed for us, without any omission and without any addition. We can try day in, day out to increase that package, but there will be no increase. So basically, when a person finds himself in the state of jealousy, he is trying to deprive that person from the goods that he has. So he has enrolled in a losing battle. Think about it. He has enrolled in a losing battle. He's never going to win. By having hasad of another person, he's trying to remove the goods that he enjoys. But basically, these goods that he enjoys is the design package of Allah Almighty, and there is no omission or addition that will take place. So basically, he has enrolled in a losing battle. And in anxiety and apprehension, this person will destroy his inner capabilities, and all these negative feelings will be in vain. That's why basically the scholars have said that a person that is a hasid, he is challenging Allah when Allah decided what a person should receive. Think about it. Allah says, according to my knowledge, my ilm, my wisdom, I have distributed this to mankind. He gets 2%, he gets 3%, he gets 4%, and one person, he cannot fathom, he cannot comprehend, he cannot digest. So basically, what is this person saying, indirectly? That, Ya Allah, your distribution was not fair. Your distribution was not fair. The same thing that the devil did. When Allah Almighty said, bow in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he challenged this command because he said that this command is not fair. In a subtle manner, he said, this command is not fair. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. I have been created from fire and he has been created from clay, and fire is better than clay. So this command is not fair. This distribution, this hukam, this injunction, this legislation is not fair. So one person that is a hasid, without even realizing, he has deprived himself of one of the articles of faith. Because predestination and fate constitutes the sixth article of faith. It's the sixth article of faith. When we were very, very young, what were we studying in the madrasas? وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. That qadr, fate and predestination, constitutes the sixth article of faith. Allah enable each one of us to imbibe the sixth article of faith and accept whatever comes our way. Because whatever comes our way has been decreed by Allah. And Allah knows what should come our way and what should miss our way. Keep in mind. So Allah Almighty in the glorious Quran, in a very beautiful style, in a very beautiful style, because our guidance is from the Quran. And in addition to that, the words of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah An-Nisa, that is a mighty surah, it is a very lengthy surah, it contains many, many injunctions. Surah number 4, verse number 32, Allah says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. And wish not for the things in which Allah has allowed people to excel over and above you. This is a direct command of Allah Almighty. That one person has something that you do not have, do not wish for it. Because it will start very innocent, the wish, but it will at some time transform into hasad. It will start very, very ma'soom, just like relationships. They end up haram, but they start off very, very halal. I'm only talking. I'm only giving advice. I'm only trying to console. Starts off very ma'soom. But without realization, after a couple of months, that relationship has reached a level that with no doubt is haram. Starts masoom. This is how the Satan plays around with mankind. So Allah says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا. From the primitive stage, from the primitive stage, Allah says, wish not. مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Wish not for the things in which Allah has made some to excel over others. Indeed, there is a commentary to this that we touched upon, I think, 3-4 weeks ago. And I would like to make mention at this junction that there's a hadith that is very sound in Ibn Majah, in which Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has allowed the following. And what is the following? One person says, I wish I had that. The Prophet of Allah said, this is allowed. I wish I had that. And I wish I did what he did with that. Listen to what the Nabi of Allah is saying. So basically the Nabi of Allah is not only allowing the wish of a bounty, but with it, the correct use of that bounty. So if one person has wealth, and we desire wealth alone, this is not acceptable. But if that person has wealth, and he is very, very generous, he is donating towards good causes, then you are allowed to wish for the entire package that is on display. Not the partial package, that I wish I have that much wealth, and then I wish I can use that wealth correctly. Merely desiring for wealth is not allowed. Because the Quran is explicit, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا. Wish not. Can't wish. And that's why Allah Almighty in Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, verse 71 says, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. یہ تو اللہ کا قانون ہے. یہ تو اللہ کی حکمت ہے. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah has given preference to some over others. Fir rizq. The Mufassirun say rizq means in life, in belongings, and in properties. We can't challenge that. It is very, very hard to digest the fact that Qarun was wealthy. And Musa was nothing compared to Qarun in terms of wealth. Abu Jahl, Walid bin Mughira, Abu Rijal, they were very, very wealthy. Nabi Akrim was not so wealthy in terms of worldly belongings. True. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was very, very wealthy. Abu Bakr Siddiq could not compete with him in terms of worldly belongings. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was destitute in terms of worldly belongings. This is the taqseem of Allah. And that's why Allah enabled each one of us to imbibe, to endure, to accept the sixth article of faith, that is taqdeer. Hasad basically emerges when a person stops focusing upon the sixth article of faith. And a person is not complete if the construction of articles of faith are not in place. This is the taqseem of Allah. And basically this has opened the doors of ghibah. People that are very, very pious, look pious, act pious, practice as pious, they can't stop that ghibah. And one of the reasons why they can't stop, they're always talking about others. Always talking about others. They can't stop because they are hasid. Hasid is the reason, the door that opens the window of ghibah. So basically the person thinks, I am in a very strong spiritual position. But when he arrives on the other side, he will find that all his good deeds have been burnt away, taken away. So don't enroll in this losing battle. Trample over this negative desire from the start. So we made mention that we have to focus and deliberate upon the sixth article of faith. This will allow us to combat the feeling of jealousy. Think about it, that this is Allah's taqseem. ذَلِكَ فَضُلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is the fadl of Allah. He gives to whom He wills. We cannot understand, we cannot fathom, and we should not place ourselves in that position where we are trying to understand the distribution of Allah. Allah does not demand of us to understand this. It's not our domain. Ya marakamini. Sami'na wa ata'na. Not sami'na wa asayna. I hear and I disobey. No, the believer, I hear and I obey. I receive and I accept. I receive and I accept. I don't receive, I accept. That's a believer. I receive, I accept. This is my package, I accept it. I'm going to work with this package for the rest of my life. I'm not going to whinge. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to focus upon others. And that's why the hadith in Bukhari, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very beautiful manner addresses this. He says, look, there are going to be people much better off in terms of worldly belongings. There's going to be many, many people around us. Muslims, non-Muslims, good and evil. And it's very hard to digest when you see evil having much more in terms of worldly belongings. Ki Allah ne isko kyun diya is dushman ko kyun diya? But the precedent has been set. Fir'aun had much more. Qarun had much more. Abu Jahl, Utbah, Shaybah, Walid bin Mughira, Abu Rijal had much more. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى مَنْ فُضِّلَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَالِ وَالْخَلْقِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. How beautifully the Nabi of Allah has addressed this poisonous habit. It's natural to look. Even when we walk, the Nabi of Allah says, look at the ground when you're walking, lower your gaze. Didn't say close your eyes. And how beautifully said by these scholars that when a person is praying, don't close your eyes. True? Can't close your eyes. Keep your eyes open and establish prayer. So you are in communication with Allah, but you do not disconnect yourself from this dunya. You still look at this dunya. Because Islam is not a monastic life, a religion, where we give up relationships, where we give up trade, and we sit in the mountains and say, Allah, Allah. That's very easy. There's no challenge sitting in the mountains and saying, Allah, Allah. The challenge is you go home and you listen to your wife speak back. You go home and you see your children sick. You come to the masjid and somebody says something ill. Challenges a person. So, from this hukam that when we pray, our eyes should be open, we can realize that Allah wants us to connect ourselves with Him whilst we are looking at this dunya. Can't disconnect from the dunya. Islam is a practical religion. Do not disconnect from dunya. Connect with dunya, but at the same time, have a very strong connection with Allah, that when you are looking at this dunya, you do not accumulate it in a manner by which He is upset. Does it make sense? So Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِذَا نَظَرَ أَحَدُكُمْ, if you see a person that is much better than you, in terms of worldly belongings, and there are going to be many people like that, don't allow the inception of hasad to take place. But it is natural to feel bad about it. Why not me receive that package? So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, alright, immediately do something. And this is how the Nabi of Allah used to read the minds of humanity. Not one person, humanity. Because we all think alike. We all think alike. Doesn't matter if you're an imam or a muqtadi, a sheikh or not a sheikh, religious or not religious, we think alike in certain things. So the Nabi of Allah says, immediately, if you see a person much better than you, look at a person that is worse off. Look at a person that is worse off. If you look at a person that is worse off, what will happen? Immediately you will fall into the posture of gratitude. And if you do not look at a person that is worse off, you will place yourself in the garden of thorns. And this garden of thorn is ingratitude. You become ungrateful for the bounties that you are enjoying. And keep in mind, I said a few moments ago, hasad will burn you outwardly, inwardly. The bounties of Allah come from outside and they fall in your lap. That entire area will be burnt. Because what happens is, when a person makes hasad, he gives up shukr. He gives up shukr. Because the thing that occupies his mind is, how can that person be deprived of that package? So he stops making shukr. Because his potential is used upon focusing upon what others have. So when a person stops making shukr, what happens? لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you do make shukr, the bounty increases in volume, in size, in taste, in intensity. The flip side, the other side of the coin is, if you don't make shukr, the bounties will decrease. And basically, the bounty that will decrease from this person is his good deeds. This is the first bounty. Because deeds are the greatest bounty that we have. All other worldly belongings that indeed are bounties will perish, or they will be taken away. Jazakumullah. But deeds, good deeds, they are the true bounties that will stay beside us wherever we are. And they will benefit us. They will protect us. They will safeguard us. But due to this poisonous habit, a person will be deprived of his good deeds. And I say these are his hard worked deeds. He has worked for them. He has earned them. But he couldn't sustain them due to the hasad. So all my brothers and sisters that are listening, and those that will listen to the recording, if you have hasad, ask Allah Almighty in abundance. Cry in front of Allah, because Allah is the controller of the heart. This is one of the poisonous sicknesses of the heart. Ask Allah Almighty to remove this. Because if you do not address this, at its inception, it will grow and grow and grow, and it will become so strong that it will be hard to address it later on. It's just like a sickness in the body, that if you address it in the primitive stages, you'll just have to take one Panadol, two Panadols. But if you don't address it, it grows from strength to strength. And then not even one shot of Panadols will work. You will have to change the medicine. You'll have to change the medicine. It is so strong. This is too weak. And that medicine is very bitter. It is very demanding. The same thing with the ruh. And basically this poisonous habit has destroyed our communities. We speak about others. I made mention of something and I'm going to conclude on this. I found out something about Brother Mubarak, hypothetically. I found out something about Brother Mubarak. This is all hasad, all jealousy. I found out something about Brother Mubarak. Somebody told me that Brother Mubarak did something wrong. I did not substantiate it. It's not conclusive, it's not concrete. Haven't substantiated it. But I start to dislike him. And why I dislike him? Because basically, I don't like him. Don't like him. You know the wrongs of your mother and father and your brothers, but you don't dislike them. Because basically there's something more powerful than that dislike inside, and that is the like. So you dislike somebody because that feeling inside is not there. That can overpower the dislike. Does it make sense? So I start to dislike Brother Mubarak. I haven't substantiated the crime that I have heard about him, but I start to dislike him. But if I was to pause and look at myself and study my 45 years that I have lived in private and in public, I know of many wrongs that I have done. I don't have to substantiate them. I don't have to be certain about them because I've done them myself. Despite the many, many wrongs that I have done, I love myself. I love myself. I hate him for one crime, it's not even concrete. And I love myself. And I know that I've committed so many crimes. What a hypocritical stand. We will speak about this next week. Basically, we need to have raham. When a person is rahim, merciful, compassionate, then he cannot be a hasid. He cannot wish bad for others and ill for others because he has that raham. We're going to talk about that next week, and that will be the third ingredient to the antidote of hasad and jealousy. Allah Rabbul Izzat protect us from all poisonous habits. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.